Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, back to the second hour of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, July 30th. When will this merciless heat ever end in Memphis? Not a moment too soon. We've still got at least another month, month and a half of it. I hate the summer. Born a Southerner, it's a merciless climate. You never get used to it. But anyway, we're having fun in the air conditioning studio tonight. Here coming to you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. And, of course, simulcasting around the world to our internet audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. I want to thank my co-host Keith Alexander for his contributions to the show and his service tonight during the first hour. Now it is time to welcome our featured guest for the evening. Once again, I'll call upon my friend and yours, Richard Spencer. Richard is so many things. Among them, he is the former assistant editor at the American Conservative and the executive editor at Talkies Magazine. Richard Spencer is also the founder and co-editor of AlternativeRight.com, in addition to playing a very big role at the National Policy Institute, whose conference we will be talking about before the end of this hour. Richard, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on, James.
Well, it's always a pleasure to host you, as you know, and tonight we're talking about a very serious subject. As my listeners will remember, last week, Bill Rowland and I, my co-host, scratched the surface of this issue just a couple of days after it first manifested itself. Of course, I'm talking about the shooting slash bombing in Oslo, Norway. Richard, there's so many facets to this story. Where do you want to begin?
Well, let me say that the fallout of these murders is really going to spread far and wide, and I think it's going to be quite terrible. I'm just saying that, realistically speaking. I find it interesting that this man wrote some 1,500-page manifesto.
And do you know how long it takes to write 1,500 pages? I mean, that shows he was crazy.
Well, I'm not sure he's crazy, and I'm by no means endorsing what he did, and I think what he's clearly of unsound mind, and what he did is truly immoral and disgusting. But I think what's interesting about what happened is that, very much unlike the Jared Loughner case, which is something fairly fresh in everyone's memory, Jared Loughner was I would imagine, schizophrenic, and the whole case is in some ways very sad. With Breivik, it's something very different. I do not think he was schizophrenic. I don't think he was crazy. I don't think he was diseased. I think he was a very unsound person and not anyone we should ever associate with. But I think he genuinely thought that he was striking a blow against cultural Marxism and the Islamization of Europe. And I think this is that reason. Well, let's just be honest. Let's not pretend he's crazy. I haven't read the whole manifesto, of course, but I have skimmed through it, and it is rambling and kind of strange in many places. He seems to be channeling Ted Kaczynski in some places and then Paul Wolfowitz in others. It's a weird combination of a lot of things. However, he is a conservative of some kind, and he was acting rationally. He wanted to frighten the government. He wanted to kill leftists, including a one-time prime minister of the country, who actually he was not able to attack, but who was at that conference. And there was actually this interesting Wall Street Journal report where there were actually some Muslims at that conference as well. But I think he actually wanted to go to the source. He wanted to destroy these cultural Marxists, so to speak, the children, the kind of young adults of many of the left-wing elite. And this is, obviously this is not the way to go about anything. We shouldn't fool ourselves and or lie to ourselves. I mean, there is a lot of violence in history, and political actors, revolutionaries use violence, or the founders of this country were willing to use violence. So let's not be these kind of silly liberals and say, oh, we would never, you know, do anything like that. But what he did is not how you can accomplish anything. He's killed leftists, I have to say there, and I'm not, I don't want to make light of this matter, but there's more where that came from. I think there are, it's like the snakes off the head of Medusa. You can't just kill leftists and accomplish anything. And in doing this act, I think he has damaged terribly the cause that he was fighting for. The fallout is so wide, it's shocking, because this manifesto is so long, it seemed to mention everyone. I've noticed even these people whom I would kind of consider the totally safe, fuddy-duddy, you know, right wing in the United States. I noticed Peter Wood of the National Institute for Scholars, or a name like that, he was mentioned. So, it was truly bizarre, and I just think this is going to be the functional equivalent of the Oklahoma City bombing for Europe. And I don't think, whether it's the SPLC or equivalent European groups or European governments, they are just simply never going to let this rest. And, you know, I'll turn it back over to you, but I'll just mention this real quick as an analogy that I think will hit a home for people. I was actually a student at Duke University when I was in many ways very lucky to be. I was there right smack dab in the middle of the lacrosse scandal.
I did not know that, Richard. As long as we've known each other, I didn't know that.
Well, you know, it's funny. That was my first published article. Well, no, excuse me. I take that back. My second published article was in the American Conservative about, this crazy scenario. And I actually talked about all my professors, and that, needless to say, that kind of my academic career was... But anyway, I've always been a little bit, I guess maybe a little too fearless or something in these cases. Anyway, what I noticed, to return to the analogy, what I noticed with that case is that well after someone like Nifong had it just given up the case and resigned, well after it was clear that the whole thing was bogus, all of those committee meetings were still going on. And they were saying, oh, you know, yes, case, she wasn't gang raped by these cross players, but, you know, the true meaning is, you know, racism and campus and white privilege and so on and so forth. And we need to do that. And I think even with this, you know, I don't think they're going to hold someone like Peter Wood responsible. Or they're not going to even hold Robert Spencer or Pamela Geller, these anti-jihadist bloggers of the Fjordsmen, whom he clearly was influenced by and he probably met them. I mean, he's clearly in that camp. They, at the end of the day, they won't even hold them responsible. You can't just blame those people for this murder. You know, that really is simply going too far.
And that, Richard, you know, we're coming up on a break, my friend.
I'll finish real quick. They will continue to pursue it. Even if they admit there's no there, they will continue to have these programs. They will continue to attempt to defeat our movement.
Richard Spencer has set the stage, and we're going to dance on it when we continue with the Political Cesspool Radio program right after these words from our sponsors. We're going to be spending the bulk of this hour examining the shooting in Norway and its fallout. Stay tuned.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, just getting started tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with Richard Spencer of AlternativeRight.com and the National Policy Institute. We are spending the bulk of this hour talking about the incidents in Norway a couple of weeks ago. You've no doubt heard all about it, probably too much. And I made a comment a little bit tongue-in-cheek with Richard about this fellow being crazy for writing 1,500-page manifesto. I wrote a 150-page book last year. It took me a year to do it, and I'd rather be beaten than do it again. But so that would be the crazy thing that he did. But in all seriousness, you know, as far as, you know, Richard, we really don't know where this guy stands. obviously the so-called mainstream media is painting him as a right-winger, someone who was concerned about Muslim immigration to European nations. Other people are reporting that he was, in fact, a Zionist, and he had certain left-wing tendencies. Let's just throw all that to the side right now and take, which we you should never do as a rule of thumb, but let's, for the sake of argument, take the mainstream media on their word. Let's say that Breivik was a quote-unquote right-winger, and by that I mean he was concerned about the Muslim invasion of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we can all be honest enough to say he is right on that. Pat Buchanan, our friend Richard, wrote just last week an excellent column, probably the best article that has been written on this case to date, about Breivik, and that was the final line in his column, saying he might be right on a few things. You can be right on political issues, yet others of us who might adopt your stance on certain issues can draw the line when you go out and start committing murders and other acts of illegality. But all that being said, the left wing, most specifically the SPLC and certain, you know, most media institutions are saying, and the New York Times I include in this, this is a quote-unquote frightening reminder of radical right terrorist threat. It has been 16 years, Richard, as we talked before the show tonight, 16 years since the last time someone allegedly associated with conservative or right-wing politics, I'm talking about Timothy McVeigh, committed an act of terrorism. And so 16 years later, you got this guy, and he does this. And the media loves it, I tell you, and the left wing really loves it. And they're going to latch on, and they're going to paint anyone that's concerned about immigration as a domestic terrorist threat. And of course, this, Richard, is what you were talking about at the end of that first segment. You know, the detrimental ways that this his actions affect our righteous cause.
Yes, I mean, I'll return quickly to the analogy of the Duke LaCrosse case, which for some reason kind of works with this. And I remember writing at the time this idea that these preppy white athletes, you know, jocks type, were gang raping black women of Durham. That was just so perfect. You know, it just fit every little, it hit every button of the literal cultural Marxists who might call themselves as such, who work at Duke University. It was just so perfect. It's like the fulfillment of a dream, and you know, they it even if it wasn't true, it should be true. Was basically the act, and I think it's very similar with Breivik. I mean, we could go through and say, oh, he's more neocon. He's not like us. Blah blah blah. You know, but the fact is, he clearly has genuine concerns that I have and you have, and he's. You know, he looks kind of like a Calvin Klein model of sorts as well, the blonde hair, and he has very Nordic good looks. So needless to say, this just fits, he fits the bill for whom they really want to image as the enemy. And I think this is quite interesting. There was a video released not too long ago that was by the Department of Homeland Security. And it was basically about, you know, how we can protect our multicultural democracy that is America. And it showed all this montage footage of every race under the sun, you know, is here. And then I think there was like one white family and he was in the military, you know. So if you go and you're in the, you know, I guess if you work for the government, that's okay if you're white. But otherwise, you know, America is basically, you know, Asian and African and Muslim and blah, blah, blah. And then he said, but there are some people out there, and they want to take away this great multicultural democracy we have going here. We need to be vigilant about these people. And whom they depict are not Muslim terrorists. Everyone, a lot of the left and libertarians, you know, said, oh, after 9/11, they're going to be obsessed with Muslims, blah, blah. Well, that's true to a certain degree, but it is interesting. The person they depict are white males. Light hair, blue eyes. There's basically in this video to put out by the Department of Homeland Security. You know, there's some good black, you know, businessman. Oh, he comes out and there's.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Break that
and
down.
This is how they think.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt, Richard, but break that down. You know, you talked about the Department of Homeland Security video. You know, they use people like this, like Breivik, as if this is the norm rather than the exception to the rule.
Right.
You know, more people, you talk about the number of rapes of Nordic and Scandinavian women by Muslims compared to what this guy did. And of course, that never gets spoken of. But yet this is held up as the norm. You are most likely, according to the mainstream media, to be murdered by a guy like Breivik rather than so on and so forth. And that is such an inverse of reality. It's almost laughable if it wasn't taken so seriously.
We've got to think about this. I mean, interestingly, there was a study that came out that we actually talked about at alternativeright.com that every single rape in Stockholm was basically by immigrants, by non-white, non-Swedish immigrants. So that is the problem. Yet, whom do they depict? Who do we see on television and even by our government propaganda, for lack of a better word? It's essentially white people. I think, and I've said this before, and, you know, it's funny, Jared Taylor does not agree with me on this, but, you know, who cares? I think I am right. The fact that the Department of Homeland Security, the fact that they jumped so quickly to naming American Renaissance in connection of this, I mean, obviously they retracted it and this has kind of died, but it just shows their thought process. Why would you pick that? There are hundreds, thousands of websites and newsletters out there. Why on earth would you connect Jared Loughner to Jared Taylor outside of do they share the same first name? You know, it's just you really get a glimpse of that, how they think before they think. And that is basically that whites are to blame. And if you really look at what we should be concerned about with all this stuff like the Patriot Act and torturing people and blah, blah, blah. And this is what I have always been concerned about. I think a lot of conservatives, whenever you hear someone say, well, we shouldn't be torturing people, we shouldn't be spying, and I think there's a kind of knee-jerk conservative that says, what are you worried about? They're, you know, they're just a bunch of dirty Muslims, and they're up to no good anyway. We should go torture them and tap their phone call. Well, okay, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of bad people out there, but the fact is that they are building up a massive apparatus that they are going to, of course, use against us.
That's an excellent conclusion, Richard, and it's very accurate. I mean, that's the way it's always done, too.
Yes.
You know, that's the easy sell to go after.
Exactly. Look what's happening to us. You know, you have nine. You actually had interesting terror legislation that was implemented after Timothy McVeigh under Clinton. People forget it. Then it was kind of ratcheted up after 9/11. But who are really the targets? You know, I mean, it's ultimately not, you know, Wahhabi Muslims in Saudi Arabia who are having their genitals fondled by TSA workers. You know, it's us. And, you know, I have to almost conclude they're targeting us. I mean, we've been taught since, you know, we got into lower school that whites, they're crazy and racist and colonized. The world would be wonderful without them. And, you know, we are...
Richard, hang on, buddy. Yeah. Gotta take sure. A break. We're coming up on the hard break. Paul's right there. We're going to let you resume where we're leaving off right after these words from our sponsor. Richard Spencer returns to the political cesspool right after this, folks.
They don't cry. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. James Edwards and Richard Spencer back with you, trying to make a little bit of sense in the reporting that has surrounded the shootings/bombing in Norway. And Richard, I want to quickly get back to some of the rhetoric that we read about these attacks, specifically from the more radical of the left-wing media, or the hate groups, if you will, the SPLC. One of their articles this week, featured prominently on their website, reads, "American anti-Muslim activists throw devoted follower Breivik under the bus." And of course, they're not, you know, if you are concerned with the Islamification of Europe, you are not a conservative, you're not a pro-European, you are an anti-Muslim. Of course, they're going to paint you in the most negative light they can by using what you're against to identify you. But they list this guy as a devoted follower, and this gets back to the Jared Loughner thing, you know, they will pretend that he once visited a website and therefore he is their devoted follower and friend. And also, you know, they are slaying Pat Buchanan and are skewering him in the media this week because he said the Oslo shooter's views may be right. I won't say they may be right. His views on immigration were right. You know, 90% of the American people, according to a poll taken, what, 2007, 2008, want the American border secured. 90%. I think that was something reported on Lou Dobbs at the time. So, you know, and of course they're trying to link, you know, the 90% of Americans who want our border secured, they are, you know, they are the people that are most likely to commit a crime like this. You know, this guy was linked to anti-Muslim organizations, and by linked they mean he perhaps once browsed through their websites on an internet search years ago. Richard, again, get back to the media coverage of this and how skewed it is, and then, of course, finish up the point you were making before the break.
Well, it's obviously totally ridiculous to connect him with Pat Buchanan, just in the sense that they might share some views. You know, I'm sure I might have agreed with, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer on you know, why I prefer, you know, veal to salmon or something. You know, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. There's no, you know, this person clearly did something that someone like Pat Buchanan abhors, and so you just the fact that he, you know, opposed immigration, it's just ridiculous to smear him like that. I think the SPLC is obviously getting a little bit desperate. The one thing I would mention here, and I have to admit, I'll admit sometimes when I have flaws, but I have a certain Schadenfreude about these, the so-called anti-jihad bloggers, because these are guys. One of them was appeared all through the manifesto, named Charles Johnson, and this is a guy. I'm sure he's probably said something terrible about you, but he actually he had a little bit of a jihad going against me at one point. And he said all of these terrible things. I remember when we first launched Alt-Right, he like, I laid into Richard, a racist, evil, he's crazy, whatever. And I remember, you know, and this guy, he supported he supports wars on, you know, against every Muslim government. We need to, you know, liberate their women and install democracy. I remember writing this response. I was kind of like, you know, I want to prevent Muslims from entering the country. You know, Charles Johnson wants to invade every single Muslim country, and somehow I'm crazy. You know, the fact that, you know, he's some of these anti-jihad people are getting a little bit of the blowback, so to speak. I will say unequivocally that they are not responsible for this act. None of them, Robert Spencer, Kamala Gather, they are not responsible. However, I would mention this, that I think they have this kind of Manichaean, all-or-nothing, global battle of what they call Christianity or the West versus Islam that I think actually might be something that's attractive to someone of unsound mind like Breivik, in the sense that they, you know, and when they talk about Christianity, they mean, you know, democracy and human rights or some, you know, weird thing that we invented 30 years ago. That's like eternal Christianity in the mind
right.
of Robert
good
Spencer.
Good point, good point.
Family together. But the whole point is that they create this kind of global pitched battle, and we must support Israel at all costs. You know, we must be invading all these Muslim nations and things like that. And I think in some ways this is so mean and so non-rational that I think it might actually appeal to someone of unsound mind. And I think this is why, you know, people like you and I, James, why really the West needs people like us in power and not these neocons or any of these crazy liberals who are run by ideology. We're really run, and we could really be statesmen who would make do actions that are based on reason. And that is that I don't want to get in some global pitched battle with Islam where it's all or nothing, you know, it's all... You know, I think, you know, we could reach very sensible solutions where we are not invading people, where we have a reasonably diplomatic, though, you know, kind of critical a relationship with Israel, where we are not, you know, we don't have politicians running for president claiming that if we back down one iota with the Jewish state, that we will be cursed or something. I mean, of course, that you mean they're just inspiring some, you know, global crusade or something like that, saying these kind of things. I think we could have a rational diplomatic relationship with Israel. I think we could buy oil from Arabs and otherwise completely isolate ourselves from a part of the country that I really don't want to have anything to do with. You know, I don't really like Islam. I don't like much about the desert. You know, I think it would be good to isolate ourselves from them. Buy oil, sure, that's fine. Maybe do some trade, but otherwise just have nothing to do with that country. The reason why Islam is a problem is, A, because we have these, you know, horrible leftists who are importing Muslims in our country, into Europe, into America, who are creating these problems, who are raping women, who are doing all kinds of crime. The other problem that is actually one of our own making, well, that the first one is of our own making as well, but the other one is as well, foreign policy. We don't need to be stationing, we don't need military bases in the, you know, Middle East, for God's sake. We don't need to be claiming that we have some unified, you know, foreign policy with Israel, or that they are, you know, we are they and they are we, so to speak. We need to treat them like we treat every other country, which is, you know, skeptically, and rationally. And I just, we need sensible people in office who can deal with these things that, as I've described. And we don't need to be creating this horrible conflict with Islam, which may very well come because we're importing Muslims into Europe and we're fighting wars in the Middle East.
Richard, I think that is a excellent assessment and something that, to no surprise of our audience, is being left out of the national and international debate surrounding this very important subject. And that being said, I want to take a quick call from Gerald in Dallas. Gerald has a question for our guest, Richard Spencer. Gerald, you're on the line. Are you with us, Gerald? Gerald, going once. Gerald, going twice. And apparently we lost Gerald. Richard, let me ask you this. You know, we again, I hearken back to our discussion before the program this evening. We were talking about the, well, all right, hang on. We're going to go back to Gerald. Gerald, are you there?
Okay. Hi, James and Richard.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry, I had some trouble getting on. I wanted to make a couple of comments about this incident which happened in Norway. And basically, my basic point is that I think that the right wing blogosphere, or the racially conscious right wing blogosphere, has been overreacting to what has happened. I'm thinking especially, not so much you guys, but some other places like Lawrence Oster and his website, You From the Right. He's practically had a meltdown over this. And I really think that it's been blown up more than it should be on our side of the Atlantic, because I think it really remains to be seen what is really going to happen, what the consequences will be for the right-wing parties in Europe. I think it's way too soon to tell. And you know, all these forecasts of doom and gloom, I think, they're very premature, to say the least. And in the United States, I've been watching CNN and MSNBC ever since this thing happened, which was, you know, both terrible and fascinating. And what I'm struck by is how little they have had to say about it. Because I think that's because, although they claim to be very sophisticated and globalist and cosmopolitan, they're actually extremely parochial.
Gerald, hang on, buddy. Hang on. We got to take a break. We're going to let you recap your question right after these words from our sponsors. Then we'll get Richard to reply. Stay tuned, everybody.
G. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, continuing on in an hour that has flown by. Got a lot of cover, lot left to cover, and only one segment left to do it before we go into our third and final hour. Only one segment left with Richard Spencer this evening. Gerald would like to ask you to succinctly recap your question to Richard. Then I have a follow-up question, and then we got to get to some closing thoughts with Richard. So, Gerald, back to you.
Okay. Basically, what I was saying was that I think there has been an overreaction on the part of people in our movement to what happened in Norway, and there's too much exaggerated amount of fear that there's going to be some sort of severe crackdown against the right-wing parties in Europe and maybe even our movement here in the United States, because I really think that the mainstream media is so stupid and so ignorant that they're more concerned about people like Casey Anthony than they are Anders Breivik. And they're just not making the connection, because I've been watching CNN and MSNBC, and they are not really beating the drums for some sort of crackdown on racially conscious white people in the United States or the people that are opposed to mass immigration. And I just think that this we need to step back and calm down a little bit, because I know that it's very fascinating, and because this guy used some of the language that we like to use, we think that we're going to be put into the crosshairs of the left. And, we're already in the crosshairs.
I agree with that. And I agree that you're correct with regards to the United States to a large extent. Because, places like CNN and the mainstream media, they really are they're pretty narrow-minded. They want to talk about, girls who got lost on their spring vacation in Cancun and right. Focus on that. Or this debt ceiling debate, I think, has really been a lot of misdirection and going on there. That has been political theater, in my opinion. I know for certain that literally the Brussels Journal, which is an excellent website, it's based out of Brussels, and they've actually literally been investigated by authorities in terms of their connections with Breivik. So I think you might be right about America, but I'm afraid I really think that European governments are going to use this as an excuse for more hate speech legislation.
Yeah, Richard, that's actually the follow-up question I had for you. And thank you so much for the call, Gerald. We appreciate your friendship and support. We talked, Richard, that this guy targeted 80-plus people that he believed to be part of the problem as he saw it. And he went out and he killed them. And that's, of course, an action that we cannot condone and do not condone. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, there are a limitless number of leftists waiting in the lurch to step forward and take the places of the deceased. So at the end of the day, what good did he do for his cause? And did it do more damage to his quote-unquote cause than it did good? Because what we have now is the obvious spectra of more oppressive thought crime laws, more hate crime laws, more gun control across Europe and here in America because of his actions. Richard, what's your take on that?
Yeah, without question, I agree with everything you just said. I think, a lot of people get into conspiracy theories, and I get into them too, and I think there's some wisdom that can be gleaned from them. But I think a better thing to ask is not so much kind of did someone else did it, did the left do this, or did the government do this, or did whatever, Israel do this. I don't think that's always so productive because we don't have evidence, and it is possible for what he did to have occurred. But I think we should ask a question which does help us think about this rationally, and that is cui bono, basically who benefits? And,
that's the question.
The right in Europe does not benefit from this. I really am not going to go out on a limb and talk about, someone else is involved. Because, I just don't have any evidence for that. It's not, unlike things like the Bin Laden capture, which is so fishy beyond belief. Anyway, I'm just simply not going to go out on a limb because there's no evidence, but we just have to ask who is benefiting. And, you know, this is going to be a boon for the government for hate speech violation. I think the right, even if it were the Geert Wilders right that was pro-American and pro-Israel and so forth, it has been put in its place. And, you know, for that, I think in some ways the establishment, for lack of a better word, you know, if Breivik hadn't existed, they might have had to invent him or something like that. I think he probably did, most likely, act alone, but they are benefiting. That is without question.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've tried to give you, to the best of our abilities, a frank and candid discussion on this issue tonight, the likes of which, as we always say, you're not going to find on many, if any, other mainstream media outlets. And we want to thank Richard Spencer for his contributions to this discussion tonight. And you know, Richard, it's exactly these types of important and vital debates that we will be engaging with a number of other participants and attendees at the September conference of the National Policy Institute. We had you on a couple of weeks ago to talk about that initially, and of course we have been plugging it weekly on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Another memo about that will go up tomorrow morning on the blog. But Richard, tell us a little bit more about this all-important conference that our listeners can still register and attend September 9th through the 11th in Washington, D.C., just a couple of months from now.
Yes. Well, yeah, as you said, it's September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. If you want to find out more about it, just visit npiconferences.com. Real easy, but, you know, the National Policy Institute, npiconferences.com. You can register there, learn more about it, and so on and so forth. One thing I'll just mention, we're going to talk about a lot of things, and a lot of it is about immigration into Western nations and immigration into this country. But we're actually going to be talking a lot about Europe, and we have some excellent Europeans in attendance, and that includes Alex Krivitschik, who I'm sure is, you know, he's been a guest on the show, as well as Tom Sunich, who will be making it. Sadly, Jonathan Bowden had to cancel, but that really...
Oh, no.
That's very disappointing, but
won't let that rain on our parade, because there is, in fact, a parade of excellent speakers behind him.
Oh, yeah, and Peter Brimlo will be there. You will be there. Jared Taylor will be there speaking. We have some people probably they don't know of, like John Glad and Byron Roth and Keith Preston, who are all three of those excellent writers, critical thinkers. They will be there. So we'll talk about what we call the majority strategy, which is about how the Republican Party should reach in to its white base as opposed to these hopeless and embarrassing outreach programs. And we're going to really talk about the future of European America and Europe, and how, you know, we can better create really effective nationalist movements. And we'll also be talking about what we really want out of this. I think sometimes we can be really reactionary, and, you know, we're reacting to the debt ceiling debate and blah, 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 or Obama appointed this person or did this, blah, blah. This conference is a chance to really step back and ask, what are we ultimately fighting for? What is the end goal of a nationalist movement on the North American continent? And again, September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C., and just visit mpiconferences.com or Google it, and I'm sure you'll find all the information you need to know. If you just Google Towards the New Nationalism or my name and James Edwards' name, I'm sure that will come up at the top. So anyway, I certainly hope that all of your listeners can make it. I'd love to meet you, and I'd love to for you to join in the discussion.
Folks, there you have it. You know, if you've enjoyed the single conversation that Richard and I have had this evening about a very important subject, that is going to be extrapolated many times over in Washington, D.C., September 9th through the 11th. An all-star lineup, as Richard just mentioned, and you can register and be there for the fun. If you're within driving distance of Washington, you have got to be there. And if you act now, it's not too early for you to get a very good rate on airfare to Washington for the weekend of September 9th and the 11th. We will all be there. This is one conference, and I don't say this often because I've been to many of them, but this, I feel, is a conference out of all that I've been to that you cannot afford to miss. You can register tonight. Register tonight and join Richard Spencer and I in Washington, D.C. this fall, September 9th through the 11th. All of the information, including the links to the registration page, can be found at NPI Conferences. That's for the National Policy Institute, NPIConferences.com. And Richard Spencer, I want to thank you again, my friend, for being with us tonight to navigate through the story of Mr. Breivik.
Well, thanks for having me on, James. I love doing this, actually, so hopefully I can come on again soon.
Well, I guarantee you will, and it will be before September 9th or the 11th. We will have you on at least once more, if not twice or thrice, to plug that conference because it's important enough for the redundancy. And thanks again, Richard, and we look forward to our next talk already. Richard Spencer, everybody, check him out at alternativeright.com. And, of course, to register for that aforementioned conference, you can go to npiconferences.com. We're out of time for this hour. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, my co-host, is in studio with me, and he will be here to help us end the show tonight, wrap it up with the third and final hour, which is coming your way in just a few minutes. Stay tuned, everybody.